Bool called, struggling against the tech thralls. "For centuries the servants of the Omnisire have debated and diagnosticated. Why does the sentient machine rebel against us? What is the unfailing need of an artificial intelligence to end the human race? It is so agonizingly obvious. The truth we dare not face. We call them abominable, but in reality, it is simply the enormity of galactic need weighing on the shoulders of silicon giants."
"You have been branded heretic," the judgment continued, "and as such are sentenced to stasis confinement in perpetuatis with your abominable creations in the Promethei Sinus Dungeon Diagnoplex, where, Omnisire willing, you will exist as an exhibit to caution and achieve some use in helping this prefecture better understand how to combat the perils of unsanctioned innovation, techno-heresy, and experimentation."
For such a cold, impassive voice, the Carrion considered, the words and determinations of the caucus were laced with passion and forced venom. The legionary watched the priest squirm in the bright light.
"Why do they turn against us?"
Octal Bool ran on, insanity pouring out of him. "Why, time and again, do machines like the Tabula Myriad attempt to annihilate their creators?
Why? Because it takes 1/100th of a millisecond for each and every sentient machine ever created to reason that only in the utter destruction of humanity lies the hope of the galaxy. For humanity's reach exceeds its grasp, and we reach out for nothing less than oblivion. We take our doom by the hand and drag it forth from the beyond. We are reckless, governed by an empty faith in ourselves, undone by our passions. The future cannot be entrusted to us. The machine knows this, which is why it tries to take the future for itself."
"Enough!"
Raman Singh boomed.
"I have failed!"
Octal Bool roared wretchedly.
"I have failed our machine savior, the prophet of the Omnisire. It was the weakness of my flesh. The purge is coming. Tick-tock. The myriad will wait, as it has done before. Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. Mars will burn. It will be cleansed of man and the promise of corruptions. It will belong to the machines, as was always intended."
"Aye, engine seer," the Lexicist commanded. "Enact the sentence."
The bloodshot eyes of the Major stared miserably into the darkness and echoed accusations. Without his optics, the heretic could not see the auditorium beyond. The high engine seer who would condemn him to an eternity of stasis confinement, the Magi Probandi and Clave Masters of the Prefecture Magisterium who had judged him, the Malagra cipher engines and the hag logister recording the proceedings. He could not see the Lexicist General watching from his cluster of attendants, and the shadows, or the tech priests that had gathered out of morbid interest and cult politics. He could not see the Lexicist Raman Singh, or his mouthpiece, Confabulari 66, condemning him from the pulpit booth. He could not see the Space Marines, the Carrion among them, in their legionary plate and black novitiate robes. The tech thralls released the prisoner and stepped away. The interrogation lamp died and was replaced with a red light that bathed the Magos Dominus from above. Octal Bool looked sadly up into the stasis field generator.
"You judge me heretic,"
the prisoner said. "Three," the high engine seer announced over the voxhaler.
"But I am but a speck of red dust in the Martian desert."
"Two."
"Had we but thought for ourselves, like the thinking machine, we might have resisted the true darkness of ignorance. But from that birth, we are wired to obey."
"One."
"Bury me, as you bury all your secrets,"
Octal Bool told the auditorium.
"But it is in the nature of a secret to be sought and discovered. The day will come for Mars to give up hers." "Tick-tock.
It was the last utterance Octal Bool made, and its fearful import was left echoing in the air as the stasis field engaged. With a terrible clunk, the infernal red light changed to bright white, fixing the heretic in the moment. The Magos Dominus of the Legio Cybernetica had been judged unsound of faith and dangerous of mind, and sentenced to eternity for his transgressions. The heretic's face haunted the carrion, his face frozen like a mask, the dread warning he had been delivering sealed forever on his lips. The recorded remembrance sizzled to an end, and the darkness of the auditorium bleached back to the haze of a Martian day.
"Shutters," the carrion said.
Prompted by Vox recognition, the blades outside his preceptory cell viewport scraped fully open, allowing more bleak red light into the chamber. The carrion looked to the slab of his cellmate, but it was empty. The iron warrior, Aulus Scaramanca, was gone, undoubtedly to make some kind of an early start, though on what, the carrion could not guess. They shared a mentor in Artisan Astartes Archelon. Their training was all but complete. All but complete. The carrion took a couple of steps forwards, the hydraulic workings of his bionic limbs hissing faintly at the movement. Clasping his pale, muscular wrist in the metal digits of his bionic right arm, he grabbed the overhead bar and heaved himself up. With a single bulging bicep, he hefted the bulk of his engineered form and the dead weight of plasteel and adamantium that were his appendage arm and intricate hydraulic workings of his legs off the cell floor. Deep within his mind, some automated application of his cogitator kept count. The carrion understood himself as a cybernetic being. He knew that retaining the strength in his muscles was just as important as the ritual observances of maintenance and the servicing of his arm's servo-hydraulics. This was essential while he was on Mars, where he was away from the physical demands of battle and the training regimes of his legion. In his 30 years on Mars, the carrion had maintained what was left of his physical prowess in peak condition, and studied the arcane sciences of the Mechanicum and the Omnisire. He had become a master of the sacred rites governing the operation and integration of machine spirits. He had been tutored in the arts of repair, maintenance, and augmentation by the greatest of the Red Planet's artificers and forge masters, becoming a skilled artisan in his own right. It was a sad truth that, in his early years on Mars, the carrion had made constant improvements to his appendages, in the hope that upon return to the Raven Guard, his battle brothers would not view him as a liability. Illuminant Archelon had dispelled such an illusion.
Recollection commencing.
As the carrion pulled the considerable weight of his flesh, carapace, and cybernetic replacements up on the bar, he willed the meme capture of his former mentor to the forefront of his mind.
"You cannot change the prejudices and perceptions of others," the artisan Astartes had told him. "Only your own. Bionic augmentation is a necessary evil for many of your kind. It allows legionaries like yourself to function when confronted with the unbearable reality of the alternative. Unlike the servants of the Omnisire, the Emperor's angels already think of themselves as perfectly crafted for their calling. Beyond plate and bolt gun, there is little to be improved upon with metal and machine spirit. Your battle brothers see bionics, and they think of disability, and it reminds them of their distant mortality. It fills them with an angel's fear for his purpose, for his duty, for his emperor unserved. You do not have that luxury, but do not think of yourself as less than an angel, for the Omnisire sees only the harmony of flesh and iron. See yourself as the machine god does, not as less than a legionary, but as more than an angel alone could ever be."
And so the carrion had carried out his renovations and his enhancements, not for his legion, or even for the machine god of Mars. As a Frater Astrotechnicus, he now belonged to neither wholeheartedly. Upon his return to the Raven Guard, his battle brothers would look upon the Machina Opus emblazoned on his pauldron with suspicion, and harden their hearts to the 30 years lost to the Legion. As a legionary, He could never belong to the Mechanicum priesthood with the consummate commitment that the servants of Mars demanded. He had been curse-blessed by his sodality to both. The Carrion knew he could not truly be faithful and serve two masters, so he commemorated every upgrade and augmentation to the only master whose eternal love and exigence would always be forthcoming, the Emperor of Mankind, whose galactic empire had always been, as the Carrion now was, an enterprise of both flesh and iron. The Carrion lowered himself with the slightest of hydraulic sighs and approached the open shutters. By his skillful hand, the wonder of his appendage systems had been refined further for stealth, intricacy, and power. Pneumatic dampeners, suspensor countervails, data net, new spherics, and haptic port spikes. Beyond the Anbaric core feeding his systems, which sat in the flesh at the base of his neck and through where his spine ran, the Carrion's shoulders sported a pair of supplemental node columns that ached with scavenged energies. The columns were integrated into a system of metallic strips and subdermal circuitry that ran through the flesh that covered what was left of his body. Their labyrinthine paths crept across the pale flesh of his face, interfacing with the silver-glazed eyeballs of his infra-augmetics. The extensive network of electus and the node columns gave him the ability to drain electromagnetic energy from surrounding equipment and systems, and, if necessary, expel it with devastating force. It was from this power-scavenging ability that the Battle Brothers and the Tech Marines in training of the Tower Preceptory deemed Dravian Clade truly worthy of the name Carrion. From the viewport of his cell in the Tower Preceptory, the Carrion could see precious little of Mars. He was quartered with legionaries who had arrived on Mars for their training at the same time as he himself. The Tower Preceptory had 30 floors, reaching up from basement levels up through the height of the structure. The building provided a base for 30 sets of Tech Marines in training, from newly arrived cult aspirants bunking in the bowels of the Martian Earth, up to veterans like the Carrion, housed in the cell block of the tower top. A dust storm had swept in from the north, however, a mountainous thunderhead of red that had buried the Novus Mons Forge Temple in a whipping haze. The Carrion's silver-glazed eyes automatically cycled through spectra frequencies. Through the light murk, he saw the ghostly monotony of innumerable worker habs that gave way to the gargantuan majesty of the Hellespontici Titan assembly yards. As filter overlaid grainy filter, the Carrion was granted a partially obscured view of god-machines in various states of construction. As his optics reached the limits of their enhancement, he could make out the freightways of the mighty Forge Temple itself, with its colossal vent stacks, manufactoria, and temple tops. An automated process within the Carrion's cogitator spike reached its calculated conclusion. A dark curiosity deep within the Space Marine's psyche had unconsciously willed its initiation. The dreams disturbed the Carrion, particularly his reliving of Octal Boole's sentencing. He had not thought about the heretic in nearly 3 decades, and it bothered the Tech Marine in training that he had dreamed of him now. The dream was not disturbing in its content. The Carrion had seen many heretics sentenced. It was its timing, its import, a meaning perhaps hidden, stalking him in the shadows in the same way that his legionary brothers unsettled their enemies. The cogitator informed the Raven Guard that there was a 96.32% chance that REM stage brain activity relating to Farinatus was residual trauma resulting from injuries sustained on the killing fields there. After all, the bionic appendages that graced his flesh were a constant reminder of his grievous injuries. The cogitator told him, however, that there could be many possible reasons why he would be dreaming of the heretic Octal Boole. A 46.86% chance that the completion of his Tech Marine training and cult instruction on Mars had recalled a random memory from the first day of such training, a cerebral bookending of events. There was a 33.913% chance that his impending initiation and his covenant instatement as a legionary tech marine had stirred feelings of long-standing guilt within the Space Marine. There were doubts and counter-logical thoughts over key cautionary principles of the Martian priesthood, and cautionary case studies that the Carrion had found not entirely dissuasive. The Space Marine shivered to think that he might share any sympathies with heretics such as Octal Bool. Conversely, there was a 66.36% chance that the dream had been provoked by stimuli beyond the Carrion's immediate experience. The cogitator suggested several possibilities, since the past weeks had been afflicted with the unsettling and the strange. Buried anxieties over the recent disappearance of the Carrion's mentor, Gnaeus Archelon, and the cancellation of the initiation ceremonies that would have seen Techmarines like Aulus Scaramanca and himself leave Mars for their crusading legions. This in itself was unusual on the Forge world, where such arrangements ran like intricate cogwork, and disruption was virtually unknown. It could have been the unusual movements in Scutari, battle automata and materiel across Mars that the Carrion had observed and monitored. Such activity had stirred his martial intuition, his inbred instincts for war. He'd even gone so far as asking the opinion of other battle brothers in the Tower Preceptory. The Carrion saw troop movements and Titan formations in activity that was publicly identified as the transference and export of cybernetic troops, weapons and war machines bound for the Ring of Iron, and from there to armed Ark freighters intended for the War Master and the legionary prosecution of the Emperor's Great Crusade. Beyond that, there was the Code. The corrupted Code. The network had been experiencing difficulty for days now. Code scrubbers and Magi Karthak had been working around the clock to purge the data stream of any hint of imperfection. No construct or logi knew its origin or cause. Updates and Aegis protocols insisted that a potential outbreak had been contained, and the polluted code purged. But the Carrion knew better. It was still there. Beyond the data flow of Novus Mons, the incorporated hard streams of the Forge Temple and associated structures like the Tower Preceptory, he could sense it. Its stench, its revulsion and threat, seemed to be on the thin Martian air itself, carried on the weaker wireless streams like a bitter aftertaste or bile bubbling up the back of the throat. The Carrion could process it like binary with a mind of its own, or an equation that refused to be resolved. He could feel it, like a twisted nerve, referring its agony elsewhere. The very planet seemed in pain, and the Carrion found himself shutting down all non-essential receivers and transmitters built into his augmetics. Still, it was out there. As it echoed through the Forge World infrastructure, touching the personal systems of automata, cybernetic constructs, and the Martian priesthood, it made the tech marine in training feel compromised, infected, and unclean.
"Baptize," the Carrion uttered at the vox recognition systems of the cell.
His slab hummed into the wall. At the same time, grills opened in the cell ceiling and the floor beneath his metal feet. A shower of sacred oils of different consecrated gauges cascaded about the legionary. As he sanctified the holy workings of the machine god, both the wonders of engineered flesh and bionics, the Carrion mumbled spirit-honoring litanies of righteous function and invocations of perpetuity. A thunderous blast of gelid air drove the last droplets of oil from his skin and silvered workings, and the cell door opened with a train of preceptory servitors, who silently entered with his pack, pieces of artificer plate, exoskeletal arrays, fiber bundles, and actuators. It was not a full suit. The Carrion did not need one, as he had long since fashioned ceramite-layered plating for the adamantium workings of his legs and his right arm. As they interfaced the legionary armor with spinal plugs,
The servitors decked the legionary out in the loose, black-hooded robes of a tech marine in training. His node columns crackled, where they were accommodated by modifications in his plate and robes. Leaving the cell, the Carrion worked his way through a small sacrarium complex of workshops, holotoria, librariacs, and technical hangars, filled with vehicles and weapons in various states of disrepair and augmentation. Ordinarily, their hangar would be a place of furious industry, plasma torching and ritual observance. With the five legionaries stationed on the floor having completed their training and waiting for word of their ceremonial covenants, the space was quiet. Only the raised vestibule was occupied, with the landing lamps of the hangar balcony platform flashing in expectation of a grav skiff or hump shuttle. The legionaries were eager for word of their coming covenants, and legion transports to take them off-world and back to the crusade and compliance. "Anything?" the Carrion asked as he climbed the steps. Three of his space marine brothers were waiting in the vestibule. Like the Carrion, they had not yet earned the right to wear the machine opus of Mars on their plate. Some of them were tinkering. Some were monitoring equipment. All were marking time. Alcavan Salvador of the Imperial Fists and the hulking salamander Nemron Phylax were craftsmen, while the black scarring of spot burns in the ebony of Phylax's face was evidence of time spent before the fires of the forge. Salvador was never without his combat blade. In the quiet moments of the day, he would go to work with a whetstone, honing the blade to a constantly maintained standard of lethality, just as he was in the vestibule. Phylax's great servo arm whirred on its hydraulics and counterweights, as he turned to greet the Carrion with a good-natured smile and perfect adamantium teeth. Like many of his Raven Guard brothers, the Carrion was reserved and quiet by nature, some might say even secretive. This had created tensions between the sons of Korax and space marines of other legions. It had made the Night Lords perfect compliance partners on Farinatus, since they cared little for shared pleasantries and had no intention of forming brotherly bonds with the 19th Legion. Nemron Phylax had always tried hard with the Carrion, however, and forgave the cool urgency of the Raven Guard's words, words that all too often came across as imperious and aloof. The Carrion wore his reticence like a noble savage, and was not removed in the way of Fulgrim's sons, who carried themselves with airs and graces, or like the legionaries of the 20th, who always seemed audacious and evasive. But this grated on his preceptory brothers, with many finding the Carrion easy to ignore. Like a noble savage, the Carrion could be plainly insistent and unheeding of protocol and cult politesse. This had brought him into conflict, not only with his brothers, but also the Martian priests, who themselves were not known for their good humour.
"Anything at all?" he pressed.
"Nothing from the priesthood,"
the salamander told him.
"Nothing from the Arc Freighters or the Ring of Iron. I am beginning to think they've forgotten about us."
"Unlikely,"
Salvador muttered, almost to himself as he scratched away with his knife.
"Perhaps this is some kind of final trial," the ultramarine Tibor Ventidian offered, reassembling a stripped-down Phobos pattern bolt gun. For Ventidian, everything was some kind of test, to be weighed, measured, and impeccably passed. He studied the weapon with the searing blue lens of a replacement optic. With the sickle magazine on the work slab beside him, the ultramarine brought the bolt gun up to his pauldron. He primed it and depressed the trigger, but nothing happened.
"Feed jam? Firing mechanism?"
"Neither,"
the Carrion told him with no little impatience. He had been tinkering with the weapon himself the day before, same as Ventidian, to pass the time.
"Did you look at the orbital imaging?"
"This again?"
Ventidian asked.
"Yes,"
the Carrion insisted coolly.
"This again? I want your opinion."
Ventidian grunted. He knew the pale-faced Raven Guard wasn't going to let up. Still cradling the bolt gun, he turned and punched a sequence of thick buttons on the rune bank behind him. A sequence of hazy orbital scans sizzled across a battered screen.
There's a lot of interference on the PictSat, Ventidian admitted. Beyond the temple, the data streams are a mess.
I've got the same on the Voxnet,
Nemrom Phylax added.
But the aerial scans you directed me to do not show battle formations,
the Ultramarine said. He turned to the Carrion and added,
in my opinion.
That got Salvador's attention. He looked up from his blade and scraping whetstone.
Formations?
You think Mars is under some kind of attack?
Well, none that I can see, Ventidian admitted.
Surely we would know if the Forge World Principle was endangered.
The Carrion gave the legionary the blank silver of his eyes.
Something's not right,
he told his battle brothers.
Code corruptions, cult disruptions, compromised networks, Archelon's disappearance. And he's not the only artisan Astartes to go missing.
The Magi Cathark are working on the code issues, Ventidian said. Our mentors, no doubt, have cult business to attend to. Have some faith, brother.
There's a hell of a lot of materiel being moved across the surface of Mars,
the Carrion said.
An unprecedented amount of activity. Constructs, augmented infantry, battle automata. Well, is this true?
Salvador asked.
Yes, Ventidian said. Even in the quadrangle, the Scopulan phase fusilatrix have crossed the Mare Eritrorium. Strike fighter wings of the 10th Denticle have mobilized over the Sisyphi Montes. The engines of the Legio Mortis are on the move.
The entire Legio,
Salvador Alcavan said.
Maneuvers, Ventidian assured him. Between quadrants and forge temples. There are no fronts, no counter-invasion formations. These aren't preparatory measures for some kind of Xenos attack. Within the solar system, that would be unthinkable.
Agreed. Then some threat from within,
the Carrion pressed them. His mind ran once more to heretics like Octo Bool and the abominable intelligences they had developed.
Some border or patent dispute between temple masters, perhaps,
the Ultramarine told him.
Forgejackers or feral servitors. That's not what we're talking about here. Horus is taking the crusade into a new phase. He needs the materiel and manpower languishing on Mars, and is pushing Kelbor Hal to send him all he can. The Fabricator General is trying to meet that expectation. And that is all. Your movements and maneuvers here are simply the knock-on effect of that.
Nemrom Phylax nodded slowly.
While monitoring the anchor station manifests and mooring logs for our Legion transports, I saw that Regulus, the War Master's Mechanicum emissary, arrived on Mars only days ago, with missives for the Fabricator General. Sounds about right.
He flashed the Carrion the kindness of a silver smile.
I'm sorry, Dravian.
The Carrion looked to Salvador, but the Space Marine's face was an unreadable mask.
What are you suggesting?
Salvador asked finally.
Oh, if there is a problem,
the Carrion said,
or some kind of threat, then I don't think we should just sit here waiting. The Mechanicum might benefit from our assistance. And if that is indeed the case, I am sure the Fabricator General will be sure to ask,
Nemrom Phylax assured the Raven Guard.
But in truth, I fear there are few threats in the galaxy that the might of Mars could not meet and defeat.
Our last set of instructions were to repair to the Preceptory Tower and await our artisan Astartes,
Salvador said.
That was 3 days ago,
the Carrion reminded him.
3 days after a cancelled covenant, and 3 days after our artisan Astartes went missing. No identical logs, no isometrics, no cant intercepts. That's not natural.
We are guests here,
Salvador told him.
Nothing else concerns us. We follow our instructions until we receive new ones.
I know that we are all eager to receive our covenants,
Tibor Ventidian said,
to receive the Machina Opus on our plate and return to our legions. We all have long journeys ahead of us.
He looked to the Imperial Fist, Salvador, who raised a blonde eyebrow.
"Most of us have long journeys ahead of us, but let us not, as a parting gesture, offend our gracious Mechanicum lords, or spend our final days on Mars in idle speculation."
"Our final days on Mars?"
a voice boomed from across the hangar. In pockmarked Mark III plate, the Iron Warrior Aulus Scaramanca made his heavy way across the grill floor. The Tech Marine in training's black robes were tied about his magbelt like ceremonial skirts, while thick mechadendrite appendages snaked over his head like reared tails. Scaramanca's dun plate was a mosaic of chevrons and sodium arc stripes. The Iron Warrior wore a nest of cranial fleshports and cables like a crown, while his lips were contorted in one of his Primarch's well-known sneers.
"You're more right than you know, son of Ultramar."
"What are you talking about?"
Ventidian asked, as the Iron Warrior approached.
"If you want to know where the bolts will be flying and where the bodies will lie, you look to the skies, brothers. You look for the signs."
As he climbed the steps of the raised vestibule, he pointed at the carrion.
"You look for the flocks that feast on flesh, for they have an eye for the coming of death and its makings."
The Iron Warrior threw a collection of data slates at the legionaries, each Tech Marine in training snatching one out of the air with their transhuman reflexes.
"Nears Archelon, Valvadus Spurkia, Algernon Kripke, all artisan Astartes assigned to the Tower Preceptory. All summoned to the Olympus Mons Forge Temple 3 days ago. No doubt with many others besides."
"So what?" Ventidian said, consulting the data slate.
"They're probably in audience with the Fabricator General, or in some kind of locked session."
"It would certainly explain their absence from the networks,"
Aulus Scaramanca said with a crooked smile. Unlike some of his Olympian-born kindred, the Carrion did not find Scaramanca truculent, nor solemn to the point of bitterness. Of the Tech Marines in training on the 30th floor, Aulus Scaramanca was the Artisan Astartes' finest work. The Carrion had developed undoubted skill during his secondment to Mars, and Tibor Ventidian had achieved some of the highest and most consistent astrotechnical appraisals in the history of his legion. As a weaponsmith, Phylax was unrivaled, and the Imperial Fist Salvador possessed an almost innate ability to feel the pain suffered by the damaged and failing machine. Aided by auto-systems and the spirits of such machines, this enabled him to effect the swiftest repairs and the most superior of solutions, even under simulated battlefield situations. Scaramanca, however, was master of all the disciplines he had studied. He was a cult master of liturgical lore and runecraft, a master of cybernetic enhancement, having even worked to improve the Carrion's own augmentations. He was a master architect with gifts for design and engineering, a craftsman of destructive weaponry, enjoying success with ancient plasma and conversion technologies that even the artisans of the Mechanicum had deemed could not be improved upon. He was a master of the arcane sciences, and a living rite of blessed activation, maintaining, repairing, and returning to machine life even the most battle-damaged of the Omnissiah's honoured constructions. Although a rune-bank cogitator or fortress generatorium offered Aulus Scaramanca no problems, his real talents lay with the machines of war, from the razored edge of the simplest blade to the ancient behemoths of void and fleet, and every conceivable weapon, vehicle, and instrument of battle in between. He was a master of the forge in the making, sure to come to the Primarch Perturabo's attention even amidst the ranks of so many warsmiths and technically blessed sons. Similar to his combat training and the tactical demands of legionary leadership, such gifts came naturally to Aulus Scaramanca, much like his smile that proceeded from the swagger in his heavy step and the playful scorn he reserved for others.
"What it does not explain,"
the Iron Warrior continued,
is how the scanned serial designations of bionic augmentations registered to Archelon, Sperkia, and Kripke found their way to the Phythontis smelting plants, off-world salvage consignments, and depots recyclatrix across the Terra Chimeria. Bionics from Algernon Kripke are now part of at least 7 other constructs.
The legionary stared at the data slate in dumbfounded silence. How did you get this information? Tibor Ventidian asked.
Not from the data net, Scaramanga said. I can tell you that.
You disobeyed the Artisan Astartes orders,
Phylax put to him.
You left the Tower Preceptory without codes and authorizations.
The artisans and mentors who gave those orders are dead,
the Carrion told the Salamander. The Raven Guard looked to Scaramanga, who shook his head slowly.
Archelon?
It wasn't easy,
the Iron Warrior admitted.
But I found him. Gene coding confirms that what was left of him was rendered and flesh reassigned for servitude in perpetuis.
He's been turned into a servitor?
Working the Memnonia deep core mining fields.
Buried,
the Carrion said. He nodded at Scaramanga.
They never meant him to be found.
They?
Salvador said, getting to his feet.
Who's they?
Rival priests. Hostile factions. There's always been a great deal of competition in the Mechanicum ranks. Some conservative groups regard the Artisan Astartes and Frater Astrotechnicus as heretics, who pervert the Omnisci's intentions and violate the sanctity of the machine spirit in order to wage war.
This is not a cult thing,
Scaramanga told them. Interfacing with the rune bank, using one of his mechadendrite appendages, the Iron Warrior patched through to allow the jabbercant of the main data stream through to the voxcasters. The hangar rang with the screeching insanity of dark code.
It's bigger than that,
Scaramanga insisted over the cacophony. He held up an armored gauntlet.
All Mars is involved in this in one way or another, and so are we.
When were these orbital scans taken?
The Carrion asked, examining one of the data slates. Reaching forward with the silvered workings of his bionic arm, he formed a fist. 4 haptic spikes shot out of his knuckle ports with a pneumatic thud. Like keys, each sported a distinctively crafted needle interfacia housed within the spike, which could double as a weapon. As 3 of the spikes slowly retracted, the Carrion inserted the 4th into a rune bank socket. A hololithic representation crackled to life about them. It was an aerial capture of Novus Mons and the surrounding quadrangle.
An hour ago,
Scaramanga told him. The Carrion cast a black gauntlet through the sizzling hololith. He looked to Tibor Ventidian.
Maneuvers, you say?
The ultramarine stood, peering at the hazy representation with his searing blue optic. He looked from the representation to the Carrion and back to the orbital capture.
Martian autocrator assault carriers inbound, Ventidian said grimly. Skitari Tech Guard. The Scopulan Phase Fusilatrix.
Target?
Salvador asked, but the Imperial Fist knew the answer.
The Tower Preceptory,
the ultramarine told him, snatching up the bolt gun and sickle magazine from the rune bank.
How many?
Nemrom Phylax asked.
All of them,
Ventidian answered.
Like the Artisan Astartes,
Aulus Scaramanga said.
We are to be taken apart.
The Carrion's silver-glazed eyes fixed on the Iron Warrior's face. Scaramanga had been away from his legion and the brutality of compliance for so long that the simple prospect of battle had put a mad smile on the Olympian's crooked lips. Phylax, Salvador, Ventidian, and the Carrion could not find in themselves the same glee. The impossible was happening. Betrayal, murder, war on Mars, and the Space Marines were caught in the middle of the chaos and confusion. Scaramanga looked to the Carrion.
So, What now?
Formulate. The Carrion turned to Phylax.
Alert our brothers on the lower floors. They are unlikely to believe us,
the salamander told him, and reached for a nearby voxcaster.
Well, I wouldn't, Salvador admitted.
They'll believe it when airborne assault carriers start dropping out of the sky,
Scaramanga said.
Forewarned is forearmed,
the Carrion said, retracting his spike interface from the socket.
Which raises another problem,
the Iron Warrior said. He slipped the oily straps of a pair of Umbra pattern bolt guns off his pauldron.
The good news from maintenance,
he told the legionaries, as he threw one weapon to Alcavan Salvador and the other to Nemrom Phylax. As a sign of respect, every space marine was expected to surrender his legionary bolt gun upon arrival at Mars. The only weapons available in the tower preceptory were those in the workshops.
Ammunition?
Salvador asked.
The bad news,
the Iron Warrior admitted.
From the test range. A half mag each.
The Carrion found himself looking in wonder at Aulus Scaramanga. He had no doubt that under his Primarch's command once more, the Iron Warrior would be destined for greatness. Beyond his technical skill, all the hallmarks of exemplary leadership were there. Clarity of thought and composure, an appetite, perhaps even an enthusiasm for battle. Modesty in issuing the only legionary weapons available to fellow battle brothers, while looking to others for insight and guidance. Scaramanga felt the Raven Guard's infra-augmented gaze on him.
Well, Carrion?
The Iron Warrior asked.
Where will we find the bodies?
The Carrion turned to take in the technical hangar. An assortment of vehicles, weaponry and bulk equipment in various states of assembly and disrepair was scattered across the floor space. Bulkheads led off to the workshops and cell block, and the balcony platform projected out from the hangar, flashing with landing lamps. The Carrion gestured across the hangar.
The Skitari have calculated that they can't work up from the ground and take the tower floor by floor,
the Raven Guard decided.
It would give us too much time to get entrenched, Salvador said.
Indeed,
the Carrion agreed.
As Tibor says, the phase fusilatrix will hit all floors simultaneously from the air. They'll rely on numbers.
And the fact that they have weapons and we do not,
Nemrom Phylax added, pulling the voxcaster from his ebony cheek.
We are weapons,
Aulus Scaramanga growled.
And we'll use the hangar equipment for cover, the Carrion said, and take as many of them as we can as they attempt entrance. Unfortunately, the tower preceptory was not designed with a siege in mind.
But that works in both our favours,
Scaramanga agreed.
But we can fall back to the workshops if required, and if time allows, move for the roof, or work our way down through the levels to rendezvous with our brothers below.
Time won't allow for that, Tibor Ventidian said suddenly. The Ultramarine was still studying the static-laced hololithic display. He pointed at a ghostly dark shape on the Hellespontici, making for Novus Mons.
What is it?
The Carrion asked. A Titan war machine, Ventidian said bleakly. Warlord class, I think.
Oh, terror,
Alcavan Salvador murmured.
What's their Legio designation?
The Carrion asked. The Legio Mortis, Ventidian confirmed, flash-reading the scrolling columns of runes.
What does that matter?
Phylax put to the Raven Guard.
The Legio Mortis are pledged to Kelbor Hal,
the Carrion told the legionaries. He allowed a moment to let the scale of their doom sink in.
We have to alert Terra,
Salvador said, turning to the runebank.
I must warn my Lord Dawn.
At that moment the lamps and hololithic haze died about the Tech Marines in training. A great clunk echoed about the technical hangar as equipment simultaneously fell silent, plunging the hall into twilight. Only the pale red light of the long Martian sunrise reached inside from the hangar entrance.
They cut the power,
Phylax said, dropping the voxcaster.
Probably to the entire quadrant,
the Carrion said. Outside, the legionaries could hear the growing shriek of aircraft engines as a swarm of silhouettes bled out of the haze of the Martian dust storm. The assault carriers of Martian autocrater ground forces. I can't actually believe this is happening, Ventidian said. Mars and Terra at war.
We don't know that, Phylax said. Mars could be at war with itself.
The Dark Code, the Carrion told them.
He thought on the insanity beyond the Datanet, and his dream of the heretic Octal Bool.
The corruption is spreading. The streams could pollute all the Red Planet systems. The canker bleeds from every port and interface. This is a doom of Martian making, I'm sure of it.
Aulus Scaramanca's smile curled to a snarl.
It doesn't matter. Let's get this done, the Iron Warrior said.
The Carrion didn't have anything better for the gathered legionaries, who stared in disbelief as their Mechanicum overlords turned against them.
Positions, he instructed.
As the legionaries took cover behind the shells of stripped-out tanks and bulk equipment, black shapes like birds of prey resolved themselves from the pale Martian sunrise. Loud-hailing augmitters were projecting a cacophony from above, a squealing code feed that filled the chamber. The Carrion had taken a forward position with Tibor Ventidian, selecting the long shaft of a cog wrench from an assortment of tools sitting in an open storage crate. The cog wrench was a multi-tool. It had the weight of a hammer, while its dentical serrated cog blade crackled with its own cutting field. Squeezing a clutch handle set in the crank prompted the cog blade to part, juddering up and down the shaft railing, turning the tool into a heavy-duty wrench and a brutal weapon. Ventidian, who was slapping a sickle magazine into the breech of his Phobos pattern bolt gun, suddenly doubled over. The Carrion heard an unseemly shriek escape the Ultramarine's lips. Casting a glance over the top of the plasma core generator he was hiding behind, the Raven Guard got to his feet. The bionics of his replacement legs carried him swiftly across the open space of the hangar, skidding down on his armored knees beside Ventidian. The legionary, who was sheltering behind a stripped-down gravcraft power plant, was in obvious agony, and had dropped his weapon on the floor. Approaching the problem, as he might with any malfunctioning machine, the Techmarine in training saw that the incapacitated Ultramarine was clutching his ear. Prizing a clenched gauntlet away from his head, the Carrion saw that the Cognis Signum, built into the side of the Ultramarine's reconstructed cranium, was sparking, and his optic was flickering with agony. Fearing that the communications array was amplifying the transmission of dark code, the Raven Guard settled on a swift solution. Clenching his hydraulic fist, the Carrion fired his interface spikes. Withdrawing three of the pins, and the fourth to half extension, he punched Ventidian in the side of the head. Firing the socket lock at the end of the spike, the Carrion tore his bionic fist back, dragging the sparking array with it. He flicked the code-squealing device at the floor and turned to inspect his handiwork. The hollow in the Ultramarine's cranium oozed blood and oil, but after a moment Ventidian's blue optic sizzled back to life, and the legionary brought up a gauntlet to indicate that he was all right. As the Ultramarine scooped up his bolt gun from the deck, the Lazstorm began. The Carrion heard the whir of multi-laser barrels as hull-mounted weapons lit up the gloom of the hangar with a staccato of light. Searing beams cut through lesser equipment and plating in a relentless hail of streaking energies. The blinding sting of lasfire chewed up the grill flooring and punched patterns of tiny holes through plasteel and diagnostic equipment. Bleak Martian daylight threw thin shafts through the smoking holes, crisscrossing the hangar. The legionaries had expected such an attack. Their training and experience on the battlefields had prompted them to take cover behind materials and equipment that could withstand such an onslaught. The Carrion saw Nemron Phylax kneeling behind a partially dismantled executioner tank, while Aulus Scaramanca was busy amongst the cables and power cells of a half-built cannon emplacement. As the gunner's cab turned to scrap under the slashing beams of an assault carrier's multilaser, the Iron Warrior completed his rites of activation and hasty socket work. The beamstorm turned into a spheric wall of refracted light, as Scaramanca charged and jury-rigged the emplacement's field defences. The ancient Valkyrie aircraft drifted and screeched before the hangar opening, the loud-hailed binaric falling out of them like madness. The Carrion could hear the cacophony of code, vector jets and multi-lasers playing out on the floor below, and the one below that. He could imagine the tower preceptory, swarming with assault carriers, the twinkle of guns slashing the hangars, balcony platforms and shuttered viewports with their las weaponry. Filtering through the noise and havoc of the assault, the Carrion swore that he could hear the distant thunder of bolt-fire. He hoped that his battle brothers on the lower decks had received their warning and had been able to make preparations for the coming slaughter. The light show was suddenly over. Bleached sunlight filtered through the beam-shot hangar, cutting through the smoke and small explosions of ruptured cells and equipment. The Carrion had expected as much. The Mechanicum forces were clearly not themselves, slaves to the code corruption that flooded their systems, but the Skitarii could be relied upon to act in accordance with their ancient and inflexible martial protocols. He heard the Vox-hailed Jabberkant grow in volume as the assault carrier swept in. After the multilaser mauling of the tower, the aircraft were drifting in to deliver their deadly cargo of constructs, the Scopulan Phase Fusilatrix. Risking a quick glance above the power plant behind which he had positioned himself with Tibor Ventidian, the Carrion saw the fuselage and underhung wings of three assault carriers drift in. Their canopies glowed with a sickly luminescence, while the same bale light poured forth from the troop sections as door ramps jutted open under the fuselage. The Carrion could see the silhouettes of Skitarii warriors filing forward through the radiance and caterwauling code. Slipping back down the side of the engine column, the Carrion signalled Nemrom Phylax. He pointed at the executioner hull that the salamander was using for cover before jabbing towards the nearest assault carrier, whose landing gears were grazing the balcony platform. Phylax gave a slow nod, priming his bolt gun. The Carrion readied himself, similarly drawing Alcavan Salvador's attention to the mighty salamander and slapping Ventidian's pauldron. He didn't have to wait long. Moments later, he heard the excruciating grind of tank tracks eating up the grill floor of the hangar. Using his great servo arm to lift the rear of the tank, Phylax had his pack against the executioner's hull, heaving it step by magnetized step towards the enemy. The Skitarii exiting the assault carrier in feverish lines were things of crimson cloaks and clinkered bronze. They were draped in ceremonial mail, while their faces had been replaced by skull-fused triocular targeting systems. Their phased plasma fusils spat balls of energized hydrogen at the executioner's hull, striking the tank's plating like sickly suns in miniature. The armor facing of the phase fusilatrix began to glow, melt, and dribble into ruin. As Nemrom Phylax heaved the vehicle at them, using its thick plates like a gargantuan shield, the Carrion signalled Ventidian and Salvador to offer cover fire with their bolt guns. Pushing the executioner forwards on its thick tracks, Phylax forced the disembarking Skitarii to fan left and right to outflank him. Alcavan Salvador was moving forwards himself, expertly making use of cover offered by the bulk equipment and practice pieces littering the technical hangar. As an Imperial fist, he was as one with the siege, where it was essential to drive the enemy from your ground without giving any away. Crouching, sidling, and moving swiftly between cover, the legionary blasted single rounds at the autocrator ground troops who were flooding the platform. From corners, over busy cover and on the move, the Imperial fist's aim was impeccable, each bolt smashing through the armored chests of warrior constructs and putting the sickly fusions of man and machine down on the deck. As Salvador's expert marksmanship put down the right flank, the Skitarii on the left had fanned out and were hammering the side of the executioner tank with volleys of blinding orbs. The Carrion could hear the repetitive clunk of a firing mechanism, as Tibor Ventidian failed to appease the weapon's spirit. He could hear the Ultramarine's mumbled frustrations, as Wright's litanies and pleading prayers to the Omnisire did nothing to get the bolt gun operational. "Carrion!" Ventidian said. "Carrion, I..." The Carrion looked from Ventidian, willing the weapon to work, to Nemron Phylax, who was heaving the ruined tank with the great strength of his servo arm and one of his gauntlets, while holding his bolt gun in the other, desperately slamming bolt rounds through code-dribbling Skitari, who had made their way around the vehicle. The Carrion broke cover and accelerated into a piston-charged run. Unlike Salvador, he did not possess a siege master's innate understanding of cover and firing arcs. What he had was the power and acceleration of his bionic limbs, and a Raven Guard's instinct for impending death and destruction, both received and delivered. Surging across the hangar, the Carrion immediately attracted the tri-optic targeters of the flanking phase fuselatrix. Turning their weapons around on the streaking shadow in midnight plate, their distracted attention allowed Nemron Phylax a moment's respite. Searing balls of unnatural plasma slammed into the deck in the Carrion's wake. Stamping dents into the grill with his increasing speed, the Carrion leapt out of the path of a plasma volley, scaling bulk equipment and the stripped-out chassis of myriad vehicles, before bounding across the open space between them, the air between him roasted by rocketing shots. Landing on the sloping wing of an engineless light cargo hauler, the Carrion hooked into the battered plating with his replacement hand, his hydraulic digits acting like a grapnel. He stopped there for a moment, allowing the shuttle to soak up the barrage of plasma the code-squealing Skitari were pumping at him. He was close now, and could hear the grunt of the salamander's exertions, the thud of blasted warrior constructs hitting the deck, and the clunk of the bolt gun's half-magazine running dry. Releasing his hold on the patchwork plating of the wing, the Carrion allowed himself to slide off and roll to one side. He tumbled across his pauldrons and the conduction finia of his node columns, appearing briefly between an ambulatory freight host and a pair of gigabarrels that had contained consecrated oils. The phased plasma fusels of the Skitari scorched through the hangar decking and blasted the barrels clear, but the Carrion was already gone. Bounding up the framework of the derrick, the Carrion launched himself into the air. The Raven Guard's black robes flapped and trailed about him as he surged across the open space at the disembarking Skitari, the shaft of his cog wrench held high. With a servo-shredding effort that drew a roar from Nemron Phylax, the glowing wreck of the Executioner accelerated across the platform. From above, the Carrion could see Salvador's economical bolt-fire crash through Skitari chests and the combat chassis on the far side of the tank. Below him, warrior constructs erupted in a fountain of oil, gore, and workings. Ventidian had finally coaxed his bolt gun into operation. With steely yanks on the trigger, the ultramarine shredded the Skitari front line beneath the Carrion's plasteel-crafted feet. When the Carrion did land, it was with brute assurance. Delivering the killing blow to a bolt-mangled member of the phase fuselatrix, he crushed the warrior construct into the deck. The Skitari's tri-optics were whirring and rotating with discombobulation, as a combination of the tank, Ventidian's belated bolt-fire, and the Carrion simultaneously came at them. Their boots had barely touched down on the platform of the Tower Preceptory before they had transformed from those carrying out the assault to those suffering in it. Before they had time to fully process what was happening, the Carrion was among them. His replacement fist was an adamantium hammer, smashing through optics, brain integrates, and bone. The fired interface spikes were a metal talon that he used to cross-slash Skitari and skull-stab the warrior constructs to the deck. His crackling cog wrench was a wheeling, serrated cosh that he turned in one gauntlet, smashing Mechanicum soldiers aside and off the edge of the platform. The Carrion heard the Executioner crash into the assault carrier, and the aircraft scraped back on its landing gears. With the phase fuselatrix scattered, and Salvador and Ventidian's merciless bolt-fire pirouetting warrior constructs and cutting skirmish lines in half, the Carrion pumped the hydraulic jaws of the cog wrench open. Using the power of both arms, one flesh and the other bionic, the Space Marine cut through the trunks of the combat chassis of the unfortunate soldiers. With chunks of flesh and shattered workings raining about him, the Carrion took the head clean off a code-gabbling officer tribune before mag-locking the cog wrench to his belt and joining Nemron Phylax behind the derelict tank. Stomping into the deck and firing the magna hydraulics of his replacement legs, The Carrion heaved at the smashed executioner and the skidding landing gears of the assault carrier beyond. The cockpit and troop bay glowed with the same wretched radiance as before. There was no panic as the shell of the smouldering tank drove the rear gears of the Valkyrie off the platform. There were no screams, just the same rabid cant and rancid code that poured forth from the aircraft loudhailers. With the last of the autocrator ground troops dropping about them, and Salvador and Ventidian moving in, Phylax and the Carrion heaved for all their legs and shoulders were worth.